But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This day, Sexagesima Sunday, we hear the parable of Jesus all about beginnings. For the seed is cast from the hand of the sower onto the soil, and as every sower wonders at the beginning of the growing season, the sower wonders how these seeds will take shape over the growing season. Back in Jesus' day, the common means of sowing seeds was broadcasting them. You simply took them out of a satchel and threw them upon the ground and hoped for the best. The parable is spoken to people who are listening patiently for a word from the Lord. The problem that many have with this parable, though, is the notion that the soil, since it represents people, as a person, it seems to be that you are either good ground or you are bad ground. The parable is spoken as if it was determined beforehand, or more importantly, as if there was nothing you could do. When we consider time from our perspective, for us there is no going back. When time has passed, you can't have a redo as much as you might want one. Part of the reason so many are obsessed in science fiction with the notion of time travel is the daydream about going back and trying to do something over again. But since there is no really going back, and the past is sort of set in stone, you can say you wish you hadn't said the things you said, but you said them. You could say you wish you hadn't missed that opportunity, but you did. There's no going back. We come to a parable like this. We try to imagine it from God's perspective, the one sowing the seed, shall we say. It's not infrequently that we sort of accidentally imagine him with omniscient knowledge of past, present, and future as just something like a big version of us. We have a hard time not imagining that if we were him, or if he was just a big version of us, then it would seem that all things are, in a sense, past to him. And therefore, all events are carved in stone before they ever happen, which is ultimately quite a disturbing thought. Because if there's nothing you could do to change what's been determined from the foundation of the world, then what's the point in doing anything? Our lives are play-acting. And furthermore, every sin we commit is an unsettling evidence that not only are we in trouble, but we've always been in trouble. And ultimately, there's nothing we could have done about it. And it seems to us that from God's perspective, if his perspective is just a really big version of our perspective, that those who do not receive the word would never have received the word if God's perspective is just a really big version of ours. And I'm not so sure that that's correct. For a moment, take a break from trying to think of God's perspective about time and destiny and all that, and ask yourself from your own perspective, if a person can't make a change, then what is the purpose of Jesus telling us this parable? Does Jesus speak to us saying, there's nothing that you can do? You're either hard ground or you're good ground. Look at your life, determine which one you are, and try to sleep tonight. And doesn't it make it more sense, let's say, that Jesus is telling this parable as instruction or even as a caution, not just rubbing it in? Doesn't he point out that the cares of this world can be like thorns and thistles, which if we're not careful could choke out the good that is growing in us, and to take care? And cautioning us that when we come to the end of our lives, we're going to look back and we'll be better off if we had not allowed the cares of the world to choke out the work of God in our lives. Doesn't it make sense for him to be encouraging us to cooperate with the work begun in us and to do some internal gardening, to be like good soil ready to bear fruit? If Jesus does not mean for us to hear this and convert and change and make ourselves ready to receive the word, then the parable is a message for many of despair. Who has not heard this parable and said to themselves, I am a little like the one who is choked with the cares of the world? Who has not heard this parable and thought, I'm like the one who probably would fall away in persecution or temptation? And if this is so, then Jesus' parable is told to us to rub it in. And where is the love of God in that? But if Jesus tells us this as a cautionary message, then the message is more like this. Out of his love for us, he gives us a real picture of the situation we're actually in, saying, in the present moment, you have a decision to make. The word of God is being sown in you today. Receive it and let good fruit be reaped from your life when the seed is sown in you. What evidence do we have that this is the right way to read Jesus' parable? We have the feast day that we missed 2 weeks ago, the conversion of St. Paul. St. Paul, at the time of his conversion, was traversing the well-traveled road from Jerusalem to Damascus. That road had not only been pounded down by hard, countless journeys over the centuries, but it was now, in the first century, a Roman road. The road was miles and miles of solid cobblestone. St. Paul was traveling on a stone path that matched quite perfectly the very hardness of his own heart. For he was bound and determined to persecute the church, to cause as much suffering and fear and dread amongst the Christians as he possibly could. That is not a soft heart. Before his conversion, St. Paul was himself as hard-hearted as the road he was traveling on. Not one of the body of Christ who knew of the reputation of St. Paul would say that before his conversion, his heart was good ground, or that with honesty, having heard the word, that St. Paul was one of the most likely to keep it and to bring forth fruit with patience. And the church would have laughed at the question of even whether St. Paul's heart was like one that could readily receive the gospel and then in the time of temptation or persecution to fall away. For it was St. Paul who was doing the persecution. He was the one who was providing the temptation for others to fall away. And yet on that road to Damascus, the great sower went out to sow his seed. And Jesus Christ cast some seed upon the trodden path where Paul was walking. The word came to Paul. And when the word came to Paul, Paul was knocked down, blinded, and fallen by the wayside himself. In fact, the word, the Logos, spoke a word to him. And think of what Jesus said, essentially. Paul, this is hard for you, isn't it? Interesting thing for him to say. It's hard for you to kick against the goads or the pricks. We have a thing now called a cattle prod, which we zap with electricity. They didn't have that back then. They had like a hook or a needle on the end of a pole. They would push it into the cattle to get them to move. And if they kicked against it, it would go in further. It's hard for you to kick against what I'm doing in you, isn't it? The devil would not come and steal away this seed before Paul would receive it and believe. He was hard soil. St. Paul, like all of us, when the word was revealed, when it was sown in him, had a decision to make. Are you going to receive this seed, nourish the soil it has fallen on, and care for it? Or are you going to let this word be stolen from you, choked out, or dried up in the hot sun of temptation or persecution? Years later, in the passage we've heard from today, St. Paul was writing a letter to the Corinthians, called the Second Letter to the Corinthians. In that letter, he has learned that his beloved Corinthians, in whom he sowed the word, were now facing temptation themselves. They were wrapped up in the cares of the world. They were coming dangerously close to letting the seed of the gospel be choked out or stolen from them. And when he answers them, we find out just how that zealous, driven persecutor of the church has handled the seed that was sown in his hard heart. He had not let it dry up. He had not let it be choked out. He had not let it be stolen. St. Paul had converted. And he turned his characteristic zeal towards the propagation of the gospel from the persecution of the church. Had this, the last of the apostles, fallen to the temptation of falling away? We've heard today about how deep that root went of the gospel sown in him. We hear about whether he was indeed a wilting flower. He says, "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings and hunger, and thirst and fastings, cold and nakedness. Besides that, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Did he wilt in the heat of the day? Was that seed stolen from him? Not so. The gospel bore much fruit in the heart of St. Paul, and we're still reading his letter to the Corinthians 2,000 years later. Can the hard heart, as hardened as a Roman road, convert into good ground for the gospel? Which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience? Yes. And Jesus spoke those words not to cause despair, but to inspire conversion of you. St. Paul is Exhibit A, the poster child of thorough spiritual conversion. And so what about you? What are you to do when Jesus speaks about those by the wayside who hear and immediately the word is stolen from them, for they did not receive it at all? Despair about how that sounds like you sometimes? No, you are to hear that and to start paying better attention. The church bells, cha-ching, ring for you. They ring to start the service, to get your attention. They ring at the sanctus, they ring at the consecration. The church bells ring for you in your life, saying, "Wake up. This is the word of the Lord. Come near to you." What are you to do when Jesus speaks about those in whom the word is sown, but let it die at the moment of temptation? Are you to despair, counting the times that you've fallen to temptation? No. You are to receive the warning and keep alert in the hour of temptation. If Paul, a tempter of the church and chief of sinners, can afterwards persevere in temptation, so can you. What are you to do when Jesus speaks about those in whom the word of God is sown, but the cares and riches and pleasures of the world choke the life out and cause them to bring no fruit to perfection? Are you to despair because your life is full of cares and full of pleasures and riches that you wouldn't know how to give up if your life depended on it? No. You are to take advantage of what approaches you in your time right now, the season of Lent. Buffet your body, train yourself in fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. You're about to be given another great opportunity to till the soil of your soul. Lent is almost here. The day of salvation, though, is today. Get ready. What are you to do when Jesus speaks of those in whom the word is sown and in whom, in their honest and good hearts, the word takes root and bring forth fruit with patience? You are to listen closely to the word. Take deeply within yourself that fruitful vision. Hear the word of the Lord. Allow yourself to get knocked off your horse, as St. Paul is evidence of, that a truer and deeper conversion may still be ahead for you. Take the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ as a vision of hope for your own life and prepare yourself to bear fruit with patience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.